We can't reasonably talk about the midterms without talking about this.
Call it fake news, call it propaganda.
Tonight, a look inside Russia's disinformation campaign.
Another onslaught of Russian propaganda, this time flooding the internet.
For months, we've heard about Russian efforts to divide Americans and disrupt the 2016 election.
So how did coordinated disinformation campaigns play out in this election? Let me turn to Renee DiResta. She joins us from our BBC studios in Washington. Renee, you research online disinformation for the Austin-based company New Knowledge. And to be clear, we're not talking about hacking here. Talking propaganda, disinformation, fake news. So tell us what you saw in the lead up to the midterms.
The Russians were very much involved in the midterms again this year. They've never really gone away. It's just an evolution of tactics, I would say. So what we see is increasing promotion of what we would call overt propaganda. Sites that are known to be attributed to Russian state interests. So RT, Sputnik, some of their media properties, some of their think tanks, the stuff that many folks around the world would recognize as propaganda, but American audiences are not quite as adept at recognizing it as such yet. The second thing that they do is the covert operations, working to amplify existing stories. There would be news stories in highly partisan domestic press talking about, for example, the Kavanaugh hearings. And we would see these Russian accounts, these Russian persona accounts, active in amplifying those messages, amplifying those stories. So it was a little bit different than 2016 in that they didn't do the hard work of creating the site and the Facebook page and the media brand around a particular type of activist group. They simply engaged by amplifying real material written by real Americans that appealed to the audiences that they wanted to go after.
We also heard about Iran launching a coordinated disinformation campaign that was eventually spotted by Facebook. What did that look like?
That was a campaign that was targeting the American left primarily. And in this particular case, the Iranians reached out to the American left thinking that amplifying the messages of the American left, perhaps the chance of electoral success of the American left, would benefit them. So this is sort of a find the people who are most ideologically aligned with you that are real, amplify their message, and hopefully influence the electorate. So with the Iranian pages, we saw them repurposing memes from sites like Occupied Democrats.
Did that surprise you? Because, I mean, foreign policy isn't like a big draw during the midterms, and that assumes that Iran thought, well, there'll be a lot of people on the left, progressives, who want to see this deal start up again. I mean, that seems a little tone deaf.
I think that there is it's a long game. So increasing your audience, increasing the prevalence of a point of view that benefits you over time is part of what we see here. So, for example, the Russian operation in 2016 began in 2014.
Are the gatekeepers at Twitter and Facebook ramped up enough, you know, in their rigor in spotting this stuff?
I think that they're doing much better, yes. So it's not perfect. But one of the things that has been really important to me to watch since 2016 is the evolution of kind of multi-stakeholderism here. So we did see Facebook take down a collection of pages just last night with a tip-off from law enforcement, we were told. And that's fantastic. That's exactly the kind of thing we want to see. We want to see that cooperation. We know that accounts that we have given to the platforms have come down. So that's the sort of thing that's the ideal state.
As someone who tracks disinformation, what are you going to be looking out for over the next 2 years?
I think it's going to be groups. I've felt this way for years now, actually, because that's where like-minded people tend to cluster. So I think that we're going to see less of the 2016 playbook of creating whole cloth media properties with sites and pages and Twitter accounts, and much more infiltration of groups.
And when you say groups, are you talking about different Facebook groups?
Yes.
Or
I'm talking about Facebook groups specifically. I think that there's an opportunity to infiltrate these more closed communities, to exert influence over communities that already do have some distribution and some audience.
Renee DiResta researches online disinformation and propaganda for the company New Knowledge. Renee, thank you.
Thank you.